This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No direct communication. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, November 10th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Houston fire officials had only cell phone numbers for the medical group hired for the deadly Astroworld Festival, not two-way radios. We'll have the latest.
A federal judge has ruled that records from the Trump White House can be turned over to the committee probing the January attack on the Capitol.
Courts in Texas are overwhelmed with cases stemming from state police arresting border crossers on trespassing charges. But is the new program a deterrent?
And live streamers on Twitch who say the entertainment they provide is no game, even if they're playing video games.
This is online live entertainment. Whether you're playing a game, singing a song, doing comedy, telling a true crime story, teaching people how to do crafts, teaching people how to cook, whatever it is, you're dealing with that kind of attention, trying to keep people paying attention to you, and that is not easy to do.
Sarah Needleman at the Wall Street Journal on the job hazards for video gamers and others who perform online. 10 former Trump administration officials have received subpoenas from the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Among those receiving subpoenas to appear before the committee, former White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany and senior advisor Stephen Miller. The committee is seeking depositions and records with deadlines later this month and next month. Also subpoenaed were a former White House Deputy Chief of Staff and a personal assistant who reportedly was in the Oval Office with the president on January 6th. In a statement, Mr. Trump blasted the committee and repeated his claims that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from him. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Also of note here, a federal judge yesterday said records from the Trump White House can be turned over to the House committee, rejecting a request by the former president to block their disclosure. Emergency plans for the Astroworld Music Festival in Houston did not include protocols for dangerous crowd surges like the one that turned deadly Friday during a performance by Travis Scott. 8 people were killed. Hundreds of others were injured. An operations plan included protocols for an active shooter, bomb or terrorist threats, and severe weather, but not for a crowd surge. Marty Langton, president of the Houston Professional Firefighters Association, said firefighters had asked festival organizers for a radio so they could be in direct contact with each other. Mr. Langton said firefighters were given a list of cell phone numbers to call during an emergency. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner.
Looking at the security operation plan, looking at where people were positioned, looking at how this whole area was designed.
During the chaos, USA Today says unconscious victims were crowd surfed to medics for help. More than 20 lawsuits have already been filed, accusing organizers of failing to take simple crowd control steps. President Biden says he understands the concerns about the supply chain backups and the potential impact on Americans as they prep for the holiday season. Yesterday, he spoke with the chief executives of Walmart, UPS, FedEx, and Target to discuss speeding up deliveries. Mr. Biden, facing political pressure over rising U.S. prices, has been trying to clear transportation bottlenecks at U.S. ports. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
Within weeks, the port of Savannah, the third busiest port in the country, will have 5 pop-up sites in Georgia and North Carolina that will help ease congestion on the shipyard.
The Labor Department says worker shortages have helped lift consumer prices by 5.4% over the 12 months through September. Due to inflation, most workers' real hourly wages dropped over that same time frame. Last month, one senior White House official told Reuters that, quote, there will be things that people can't get. come Christmas time. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, Gledger, with us. Welcome into Wednesday. As Democrats come to term with Republicans' sweep of Virginia's statewide contests on Election Day, lawmakers have continued to press forward in crafting and passing roughly $1.8 trillion in spending on a bill aimed at climate change and expanding the social safety net. They've already passed $1.2 trillion in infrastructure. While some policies will take years to implement, others could be tangible evidence to voters by next year's midterms that they got things done. More from Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. Zach, what's ahead?
That's not necessarily going to mean like shovel-ready projects like was billed at the beginning of the Obama administration when the United States was recovering from the Great Recession after the collapse of the financial sector. And so one of the questions I think is on a lot of people's minds is what parts of Democrats' agenda are actually going to be felt by the public by the time people go to the polls in November 2022. Democrats will be defending razor-thin majorities in both chambers if the status quo holds from right now. And after losing the Virginia governorship, nearly losing the New Jersey governorship, as well as losing races across the country and other local, municipal, statewide races, the really big question right now is what will Democrats be able to sell to voters come a year from now?
All right, so it's still a big if regarding Build Back Better and whether it passes. But if it were to go through, what is it that could be tangible for voters, say, between passage and next November?
The easiest way to answer that question is look at sort of what's already in progress. Part of the American Rescue Plan Act, the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that passed Congress, Biden signed into law earlier this spring, a big portion of that is the expanded child tax credit. There's been a child tax credit for years, but what Democrats basically said is let's make that a monthly benefit as opposed to yearly. And so people are getting literally checks in the mail or direct deposits in their bank accounts, or parents at least, in the middle class, so around. And that could be extended as part of the Build Back Better Act. It's actually one of the big priorities that they have is expanding that at least for another year, as well as making that fully refundable, basically meaning that even if you're not deducting itemized deductions on your tax returns, that a family will be able to deduct the whole child tax credit and either lessen their tax burden every year or increase their refund. So that was, I think, is one of the easier things because it's basically just extending current law. You could see other things, but there are other programs that maybe will be harder to put into place. For instance, home and community-based care, senior elder care, if you will, or folks with disabilities. There's $150 billion in there to help them, but that's something that gets administered by the states, and they got to wait for the states to set up these programs, and that's just a longer lead time. And so I think over the next 10 years, it's a big bill. It doesn't necessarily mean that all of it is going to be instantaneous.
Mm. We're speaking with Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. His piece is called Will Democrats' Agenda Impact Voters by November 2022? Will Build Back Better be passed? Do you have a read on that?
That's the $1.8 trillion question at this point, right? So after House Democrats and a couple of Republicans on Friday passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the Build Back Better Act, which is sort of the rest of Biden's domestic agenda, is what's on the line now. Basically, what's happening is Congress, especially moderate Democrats, both in the House and the Senate, are waiting for an official score by the Congressional Budget Office, basically the budgetary referees for Congress, so to speak. They're basically going to look at the Build Back Better Act that's passed by or that's drafted by Congress and say, here's how much it's going to cost over the next 10 years. Now, there are all these estimates that are put together by tax writers in Congress, by the White House, by independent estimators. But there are centrist Democrats, like I said, in both chambers that want to see an official score before they move forward. It's the same people that put together the estimate that the bipartisan infrastructure bill, for instance, would put about a $250 billion hole in the deficit over about 10 years. That being said, the people who wrote that infrastructure bill say, oh, that's not totally accurate. All that being said is that once that CBO score comes in, the House will be able to vote on it probably sometime next week.
Okay.
Then Congress is on recess for Thanksgiving, and then the Senate can take it up sometime in early December. That seems to be the most optimistic timeline at this point.
Thanks, Zach. Zach Cohen, Senate reporter at National Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A federal judge has rejected former President Trump's attempt to block a bipartisan House Select Committee from obtaining White House records as part of its investigation of the deadly Capitol invasion. The judge says Trump is unlikely to succeed on the merits of his claims or suffer irreparable harm. Select Committee member Liz Cheney of Wyoming spoke yesterday at an event in New Hampshire about the committee's work.
We are also confronting a domestic threat that we have never faced before. A former president who's attempting to unravel the foundations of our constitutional republic.
Trump is appealing the ruling to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit.
Number two.
Houston's fire chief says Travis Scott and the organizers of the Astroworld Music Festival should have stopped the events when they realized members of the crowd were in danger. Eight people were killed, including two teenagers, when a crowd surged toward the stage. Attorney Rick Ramos, who's representing concert attendees who are suing, says Scott ultimately bears responsibility.
He's as responsible as a culprit as anyone into what happened at that concert that night.
The tragedy occurred on the first night of the festival with more than 50,000 concert goers in attendance.
Number three.
The NFL has fined the Green Bay Packers and their star quarterback Aaron Rodgers for violating COVID rules. The team was fined $300,000, and Rodgers, who was fined $14,650 for attending a party while unvaccinated, appeared yesterday on the Pat McAfee show.
Look, I shared an opinion that is polarizing. I get it. And I misled some people about my status, which I take full responsibility of. Those comments.
Packers wideout Alan Lazard was also fined for attending the party. In addition, the Packers were warned future COVID violations could result in loss of draft picks. If you're planning to travel for Thanksgiving, expect lots of company on the roads and in the air. AAA says travel volumes will reach near pre-pandemic levels, with more than 53 million people expected to travel over the holiday weekend. The roads will be jam-packed, as well as airports. The sexiest man alive? Well, according to People magazine, it's Paul Rudd. Known for his starring roles in Marvel's Ant-Man films, This Is 40 and Clueless, Rudd was revealed last night as this year's winner. Other recent winners include George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Michael B. Jordan.
All right. Guy from New Jersey originally.
Apply for a loan with a bank and you might get free coffee. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees ever. So consolidate debt with a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs or get free coffee. Go to marcus.com to learn more about our no-fee personal loans and other products today. Lending and deposits provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
Glad you're here. What might seem like a dream job for some, and that's getting paid to entertain strangers by playing video games or doing just about anything else while people watch on a live stream, is not as easy as it looks. Sarah Needleman, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at people broadcasting on the popular app and website Twitch Interactive. Sarah, what's the Twitch biz model?
People can subscribe to a streamer's channel, and subscriptions range between about $5 to $25 a month, and the streamer gets a cut of that money. There's also a way you can give out digital rewards to the streamers you like. They're called bits. And the bits can be converted into cash for the streamers. And for those that are really, really popular, that get high up, high numbers of viewers, they also may be able to generate some revenue from an ad sharing program that Twitch has.
Oh, wow. All right. So some of these folks really put in long hours, I guess, just sitting in a chair or on a couch doing something like playing a video game that other people are watching. And they explain kind of the exhaust involved.
Sure. Well, I mean, especially if you're playing a video game, which can, some of them are short matches, but you could be playing for hours on end, and you're commentating, just like with a sports match, like a basketball or football, you're commentating throughout the whole time. You're trying to get people interested in watching what you're doing. Now, if you're an expert gamer, and some of these Twitch streamers are, sometimes just watching them and seeing the decisions they make is fascinating, just like when you watch a professional football game and you're analyzing every different move on the field. So if you're a real big fan of a game, You might want to watch a pro play, and you might want to chime in and ask a question. But for the person who's actually sitting there, they're sitting on their butts sometimes for hours on end. They're constantly looking at the comments that are coming in and trying to respond. They may be trying to think of interesting things to say to keep people watching. It's a live broadcast, and you can't take a pause. I mean, and of course, you can pause and say, I got to run to the bathroom, but you want to keep your viewers paying attention. And so that's a lot harder to do than it may seem.
Yeah, I would guess no viewers means no money, so it's hard to step away and go to the bathroom at times.
Exactly. This is online live entertainment. Whether you're playing a game, singing a song, doing comedy, telling a true crime story, teaching people how to do crafts, teaching people how to cook, whatever it is, you're dealing with that kind of attention, trying to keep people paying attention to you, and that is not easy to do.
We're speaking with Sarah Needleman, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Twitch Live Streamers Say Playing Games is Hard Work. Folks are making a living here. Is this a full-time gig, part-time? How do they treat this?
Some people are doing it full-time. Others are doing it part-time. For those who are doing it full-time, they're spending many, many hours on camera a week. They often have like a set schedule. So tune in to watch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this particular time.
Okay.
And then in between the broadcast, they're also doing a lot of work. First of all, they're editing their broadcasts afterwards to post them online. They are reaching out sometimes to corporate sponsors because that's another way to make money by, you use certain gear from if you're playing a video game, you might use a certain keyboard and mouse from a particular brand and talk about that brand.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Needleman at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. First impressions are a big deal, and after the last year of video meetings and remote working, you've got the chance to make a first impression all over again in your professional life. That's the beauty of Indochino. Indochino offers completely custom-fitted suits, shirts, casual wear, and more at surprisingly affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail. I just ordered a pair of chino pants from their website, and the process was so easy. I was able to measure myself at home in minutes with help from their instructional videos. And everything from the hem to the back pockets are fully customizable. I'm floored that custom-made quality can be so affordable. You have to try it to believe it. Customize your new professional look, book an in-person appointment, or find a brand new Indochino location in a select Nordstrom near you at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using the code Gordon at checkout. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Indochino.com, promo code Gordon.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, November 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A judge says Trump White House records can be turned over to the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the Capitol. Wall Street Journal says Facebook allowed plagiarized and recycled content to flourish on its platform despite policies against it. Brian Williams leaving NBC next month after 28 years. General Electric splitting into three public companies. Latest college football playoff rankings, Georgia number one, then Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State. And the extremely rare cotton candy lobster found in Maine. That story in about 20 minutes. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's effort to use state law enforcement to enforce immigration law by arresting migrants for trespassing is overwhelming local courts and resulting in few convictions. The Wall Street Journal looked at court records that show just 3% of about 1,500 people arrested on misdemeanor trespassing charges since July have been convicted, all via guilty pleas. More from reporter Elizabeth Findell, who covers Texas. Elizabeth, what have you found?
You know, essentially, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced that he was going to start arresting migrants coming into the U.S. on misdemeanor trespassing charges for going across people's private property, calling it an effort to end catch and release policies of the federal government. States, of course, cannot enforce federal immigration law themselves. So they started arresting these migrants on trespassing charges. But effectively what's going on, we found out, is that most of these people are sitting in jail for weeks or months awaiting a first hearing or awaiting charges on these misdemeanor counts. Most of the cases are eventually getting dismissed. And then those people are sort of being released and no one really knows what's happening to them. Whereas they, if they had been turned over to Border Patrol immediately, they would have been immediately removed from the country under Title 42, which allows for expedited removal of people from particular countries.
Why are some of the cases getting dismissed if, in fact, these people are getting picked up for trespassing?
A lot of it is paperwork issues. You have so many of these arrests happening, and a lot of out-of-state, or not out-of-state, but out-of-town state troopers who are down performing them. And so you'll have paperwork that doesn't say clearly where they were arrested or on whose private property. Some cases have been dismissed after there was evidence indicating that police may have actually directed the migrants onto private property in order to arrest them. There's been a number of different issues with it.
Has this at all served as some sort of deterrent? Is there any indication that fewer people are trying to cross, I guess, for fear of getting picked up on a charge like this?
That's certainly the intention behind it, but it sounds like it may, if it's having any impact at all, it may be the opposite. These cases account for a, you know, tiny portion of the number of people, you know, coming across the border, even in that particular section of the border. But as I said, after they are released from jail, we're not really sure what's happening to them. The lawyers are not really sure what's happening to them, but in several cases that we know of, people who would otherwise have been immediately expelled by Border Patrol have actually been able to stay in the country and pursue immigration cases after they've stayed in, you know, a state jail for a couple months. So there's some indication that it may actually be helping some of these people's immigration cases.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Findell, Texas correspondent at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "Texas Jails Fill with Migrants as Border Arrests Overwhelm Courts." And to clarify, state and local officials cannot deport. That is the job of the federal government.
Of course.
Right. So for those migrants who wind up waiting for weeks or perhaps months in a Texas jail, not to sound smart alecky or something, but is that condition actually better than from where they came?
I suppose it depends. I think most of these people are very surprised when they're arrested, and you know, it's not, they're not being held in good conditions, but as well, a lot of people are fleeing terrible situations and are risking their lives, knowingly risking their lives to come to the United States. So it may, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it does seem like this could be like the new backdoor way to sort of roll the dice and get released into the U.S.
It could be. It could be. I think, as I said, I don't think most of the migrants themselves who are coming in are necessarily aware of this before they show up, and they're surprised by their arrests, from my understanding from lawyers.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Findell, she covers Texas for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the fast food chain introducing a vodka. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all-business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable, weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13. For just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal
to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. Harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. HARRYS. Harrys.com/deal.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it seems in the week I've been away, there's been a lot of news about potatoes we've been catching up on. Last week, you guys talked about huge potatoes being dug up in New Zealand. Now we move to Arby's, where not only they have the meats, they will soon have the drinks. The chain announced that it plans to sell a line of vodka that tastes like it's French fries. The vodka will come in two flavors, curly fries and crinkle fries, because that's what happens when you go to Arby's. You got to choose. In a news release, Arby's said that while they've mastered the art of drive-through fries, they want to take it one step further by making them 80 proof. The two limited edition vodkas go on sale November 18th for $59.99 per bottle from arbysvodka.com. Now, while this might seem like a strange marriage of fries and vodka, keep in mind that some vodkas are made from potatoes.
Mm.
See, I kind of welcome this because I'm not a fan of the taste of vodka. So anything that can make vodka taste better,
okay.
I think I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, no, I do like the flavored vodka. I'm a believer that vodka needs a little help.
Yeah, yes.
With some juice, cranberry juice, or some seltzer, or some fresh squeezed lime, something along those lines.
Flavored creamer, Gordon?
You wanna... yeah, at the end of the night, Mike, with my coffee. Yeah.
I mean, it's along the same lines as your coffee. Your coffee needs a little help, as we know, and so does your vodka.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Speaking of food, by the way, so yesterday I revisited the statement I usually make this time of year, and that is that turkey is useless on Thanksgiving
right.
as a meat. Boring, no life, too dry, blah, blah, blah.
Also needs a lot of help,
right? With stuffing, creamed onions, your green bean casserole.
Lots of gravy.
So Twitter, I've offered lots of suggestions about what to do with turkey. Some people said, you know, absolutely no turkey. It's useless. Let's go with a filet mignon,
of course.
You know, other meats, whatever.
Sure.
But the two most popular things that came up with this, smoked turkey and fried turkey.
Yes.
People insisting that this is absolutely the way to go for Thanksgiving. And a friend of mine said, texted me, she listens to the show, and said, Cajun spice fried turkey.
Okay. I mean, again, anything you can do.
Yeah.
I've had the fried turkey the last few years. So my brother has gotten into doing the deep fried turkey.
Okay.
And I have to say this, while it is perfectly fine and probably slightly better than your regular baked in the oven turkey, not as good to me as it probably should be. Like, it feels like it should be better.
Really?
You know, when you fry something for that long a time and take it out, I mean, it looks amazing. It's fun to do, but not as tasty. Maybe he's doing it wrong, but not as tasty as I feel like it should be. It doesn't add that much to the overall presentation.
Now, just curious, do you tell your brother this to his face? Like during the meal?
No.
Or is this something you text after you've long gone and eaten all his food?
Yeah, I mean, I just get, you know, very excited when he pulls that turkey out because it looks great. It smells great. And then I dig into it and I'm like, well, I guess I'm still going to need the gravy. Still going to need all the extra. Yeah,
is this coming out too dry?
Yeah, just still a little dry. Still not as tasty as you would think for something that's been, you know, boiling in oil like that.
So this is just another reason why I'm onto this campaign, the hashtag no turkey.
Yeah, it's all side dishes. Completely.
Yeah.
Tiny little bit of turkey.
I'm with you on that. All right. Thank you, Mike. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. This portion of the program is brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Marcus by Goldman Sachs personal loans have no fees ever. Discover more at Marcus.com. More of us are feeling squeezed at the pump. AAA says gas prices have now soared to a 7-year high, reaching a nationwide average of $3.42. But there are ways to help yourself. You can set your destination to cheaper gas with the help of Waze and Google Maps. Both navigation apps have gas prices built in. On Waze,
You can search for gas stations nearby or along your route. The prices are listed so you can see which stops will be the cheapest to fill up. The gas station option will show up below the search bar. Click on the gas pump icon. You'll see all the stations. You can filter it by distance, price, or brand. To find the cheapest fill-up, go with price, obviously. Once you've found the station you want, click on it and go. Your navigation directions will lead you there. On the Google Maps app, when you're in drive mode, you can search along your route for gas stations. It'll show the prices at all nearby stations, along with how far away they are. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration has outlined several initiatives aimed at addressing immediate supply chain challenges and other disruptions affecting global commerce. The administration is expected to begin work within the next 60 days with the Army Corps of Engineers on $4 billion worth of construction work at coastal ports and inland waterways. White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Today's announcement builds on the steps we've already taken to help address the supply chain challenges we've seen globally because of that pandemic.
The administration also plans to standardize data sharing requirements for shipping lines, terminal operators, railroads, truckers, warehouses, and cargo owners.
Number two.
A House committee probing the January 6th Capitol riot has subpoenaed former Trump White House press secretary Kayleigh McEnany, senior advisor Stephen Miller, and eight other ex-White House officials to testify in the investigation and provide relevant documents. The latest round of subpoenas came a day after the same panel issued subpoenas to six top Trump allies.
Number three.
Conservative Supreme Court justices expressed skepticism about a Texas death row inmate's demand that his pastor be allowed to pray out loud and touch him during his execution. Justice Samuel Alito.
What's going to happen when the next prisoner says that I have a religious belief that he should touch my knee? He should hold my hand. He should put his hand over my heart.
Executions in Texas have been delayed while the court considers a question. The outcome won't take anyone off death row, but could make clear what religious accommodations officials must make for inmates who are being put to death. NASA is delaying its plans to return astronauts to the surface of the moon, announcing the agency is targeting 2025 for a crewed landing. NASA's new schedule represents a delay from the previous goal of 2024. A pair of diamond bracelets that once belonged to Marie Antoinette, the famed wife of French King Louis XVI, who met her fate at the Revolutionary Guillotine, have sold for $8.3 million. The opulent bracelets, among the rare pieces of jewelry from the ill-fated French royal that are still up for public sale today, were among standout features at a Christie's auction in Geneva yesterday. They feature 112 diamonds and include silver and gold.
That's impressive. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, a one-of-a-kind lobster. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Thanks for being with us. How about this catch by a lobsterman in Maine? A 1 in 100 million discovery when he found a lobster with an extremely rare cotton candy color scheme. Bill Coppersmith, who supplies crustaceans to lobster companies, found the rare cotton candy lobster during a recent day of fishing. The lobster, caught in Maine's Casco Bay, features an iridescent opal-like shade on its shell, a result of a genetic mutation that creates unique colorings. He's named the lobster Hattie after his granddaughter. Get Maine Lobster, which is a direct-to-consumer company based in Portland, says Hattie will not end up on a dinner plate, but will be donated to an aquarium or other appropriate facility. Fun fact, by the way, LiveScience.com says lobsters never actually stop growing, although their rate of growth slows as they get older. Oh, and adoption is quite the commitment. In cold water, lobsters can live up to 100 years or more. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.